tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and مرحبا to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. And today I have, mashallah, my beloved colleague Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah with me, and Jazakallah Sayyidi, Alhamdulillah. Ameen. It's always a pleasure to have you. And the topic of discussion, Sayyidi, is worldly love is the root of evil. How true is it? Yes, the world is decorated. Shaitan presents this world in such a beautiful package. Right? Like, let's say how nowadays we have unhealthy foods packaged so beautifully, colorful packaging with beautiful graphics.
Very attractive.
But inside is garbage. If you become habitual of eating or drinking that, it may lead to heart failure. It may lead to diabetes. It may lead to cancer. Some food products are such in the markets now. But they are packaged beautifully, presented beautifully. We can think of the world in the same manner.
Also, Muhammad, you know, the Holy Quran teaches us, you know, that the life of this world is nothing except, you know, play and amusement.
Allah.
So this, you know, should be an eye-opener for us, that why are we running so much for this world? Why are we being so engrossed and drowned in love with this world when this same world is temporary? This same world, you know, is going to come to an end. And this is a reality that we have to accept. And the moment one accepts this reality, the moment one understands this reality, then obviously an intelligent, wise person will not, have that kind of love for this world. Instead, their love would be towards the hereafter. Because that is everlasting, that is forever. This world is, you know, for to accumulate our good deeds for the hereafter, not to, you know, continuously run after this world, run after the riches of this world and the luxuries of this world. Because the more a person runs after this world, the world further runs away from him. Allah. And the person will continue chasing it, and will end up getting nowhere. Rather, the person will go in circles and circles and circles. But the moment a person goes after the hereafter, then one will see that the entire world follows that person.
Subhanallah. Yes, the world is such, the more you run after it, the more it will run away from you. But yeah. Once you turn the other way, look at how the world will run after you.
Hmm. And we've seen that in the lives of our pious predecessors.
Exactly.
How the world came at their feet.
And they still refused the world. They refused to adopt the beauty and the glitter and the glamour of the world.
Yeah.
And they chose the life of the hereafter. They lived the simplest of life. Perhaps they were wearing the same clothing for years.
Allah.
Wash and wear. Allahu Akbar. And they never had any luxuries with them. They used to eat dry bread. And this is how they survived. Look at the example of Sayyidina Wasipak, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, how he lived in this world. He would sometimes eat the dried leaves from the trees in the jungle. And he would survive with that. But he will never leave his devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would pursue the path of the hereafter. Learn Islamic knowledge. Spend his time in devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make the Fajr Salah with the wudu of Isha Salah. Subhanallah. This was the devotion of Sayyidina Ghawsipak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and how he attached himself to the hereafter and how he was totally negligent of the world and the worldly luxuries.
Subhanallah.
Alhamdulillah, these are the examples before us to really turn our life around. And if we try, we can achieve this, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, he discusses the deception and elusive nature of this world in his poetry. And he says that, O slave of Allah, what do you know of this world? It may appear unassuming, yet it is a bowl of poison.
Mm-hmm.
It is cunning and deceptive. Its cruelty is such that it makes venom look like honey.
Allahu Akbar.
And it kills whoever loves it. This world is polluted and ruined, and there is no benefit in attaching one's heart to it. And this is something tried and tested. Allahu Akbar. And this is what Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma has to say, the true devotee of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Speaking of the devotee of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have a beautiful kalam, and it is also penned and composed by a true devotee of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Maulana Abdurrahman Jami rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And this is a Farsi and Persian kalam. Let's inshallah go listen to the kalam, and we'll be back after it and discuss our topic of discussion today. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bula lo apne dar par ab to gham khana badoshon ko phire kab tak zaleel o khwar dar dar ठिकाने से शबे फुरकत ढले बर आए अरमा या रसूल अल्लाह करो तुम मास्ता का अपने رسول اللہ بلا لو اب تو قدموں میں میری جان یا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودا جان پارا زہجران یا رسول اللہ دلم پجمردہ آوارا زیسیاں یا رسول اللہ تلم فرسودہ جا پارا زیجران یا رسول اللہ تمہاری یاد کا غلبہ ہمیشہ دل پہ ہو تاری لگا دو عشق کی اپنے خدا را ایسی چنگاری اسی خواہش میں کٹ جائے میری عمر رواں ساری چسوے من گزر آری من مسکین زناداری فدائے نقش نالینت کنم جان یا رسول اللہ فدائے نقش نالینت فدائے نقش نالینت کنم جان یا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودا جا پارا سے ہجران یا رسول اللہ دلم پج مردہ آوارا زیسیاں یا رسول اللہ رحمت سے ہی ہے کرم کا سلسلہ پہ ہم ہے خواہش وقت آخر جب نکلنے والا ہو یہ دم زباں پر جاری ہو نغمہ تیرا دل یہ کہے اس دم زے جام ہو بے تو مستم بزن جیرے تو دل بستم نمی گویم کے من ہستم سخندہ یا رسول اللہ نمی گویم کے من ہستم سخندہ یا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودہ جا پارا زی ہجرا یا رسول اللہ دلم پجمردہ آوارا زی سیا یا رسول اللہ سیاہی دفتر اعمال کی ہوتی نہیں ہے کم عذاب قبر و محشر کا مجھے اب کھا رہا ہے غم شرم ساری گناہوں پر ہے اور آنکھیں ہیں میری نم ذکر دعا خیش ہے رانم سیاہ شد روز سیانم پشیمانم پشیمانم پشیمان یا رسول اللہ پشیمانم پشیمانم پشیمان یا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودہ جا پارا زی ہجرا یا رسول اللہ دلم پجمردہ آوارا زی سیا یا رسول اللہ سر محشر محامد پیش ہو جو در سیاہ کارا کہے بے ساختہ جو دیکھے رحمت بر گناہ گارا میری امید ہو تم اے شفا اے درد بیمارا چوبا شفاعت را کشائی بر گناہ گارا مکن محروم جا میرا درا یا رسول اللہ مکن محروم جا میرا درا یا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودہ جا پارا زی ہجرا یا رسول اللہ دلم پجمردہ آوارا
Subhanallah, subhanallah. You are listening to the beautiful Naat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Welcome back, alhamdulillah. We were discussing the worldly love is the root of evil. Sayyidi, when it comes to the love of the world, right? So the world itself, the Arabic term for the world is dunya, right? So what's the meaning of this term dunya, or what it entails, inshallah, if you could please enlighten us about, you know, the literal, in its literal sense, what it means and how it manifests the meaning of it into our lives, and how we are driven more towards the dunya and we are totally negligent about the hereafter, which is our final abode.
Mansab, actually, this word dunya, ulama have mentioned that it means near. And then they further on explained, like, in what sense does it mean near? So they have mentioned that the reason for this is either because it is closer to mankind in contrast to the hereafter. Allah. So this world is more closer to mankind than the hereafter. Or as it is closer to the heart due to the desires and pleasures that it entails.
Allahu Akbar. So it is termed dunya because of its pleasure, and mm-hmm. it's near because of that, you know, to us, yes. meaning those who are its inhabitants.
Right.
Allahu. So then love of the world naturally comes in.
Yes.
But it takes a lot of motivation. If we have to look at our final abode, where we are heading, you know, a wise person makes the preps for his journey mm-hmm. while he is at home. You don't make preparations while you are on the journey.
Yes.
You
yes.
book your ticket before you embark on the journey.
Way in advance.
You pack your suitcases before you embark on the journey. You take all your necessities that you will need on this journey before you embark on the journey. Mm-hmm. But here we are living in the world, and we live for the world. Whereas the wise people, the people of Allah, they live in the world, but for Allah, for the hereafter.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. This is the difference. We both live in the world. Mm-hmm. But some live in the world for the world. And then there are those, the people of Allah, who live in the world for the hereafter.
And also we see, Mahasab, that, you know, love for this world, it actually blinds one from the reality. And what is that reality? That reality is that one day we are going to die. One day we are going to have to face accountability. And having love for the world, it blinds one from this. Because if one, for example, if a person is in love with something or with someone, everything else around that person is blinded. He doesn't see left or right. It's only that one objective that he has. Like that, a person who has so much of love for this world, he is blinded that he cannot see what's right, what's wrong. And he gets, you know, so engrossed in it. The greed of wealth comes. And when this greed of wealth is spent in the wrong way, then such a person ends up like Qarun. Qarun had, you know, so much of wealth, so much of love for this world. And what happened at the end? He got destroyed. His entire life got destroyed. So we, you know, should not be like that. We should not be under that category. For example, if someone has wealth isn't a bad thing.
Yes.
Right? We all need wealth. But we need to keep that wealth in the palms of our hand, not in our heart. And we need to spend that same wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the strengthening of deen, to support our families. This is how we need to use our wealth. Not in that way where we are hoarding our wealth and, you know, we want more and more and more and more and more. This is going to destroy a person slowly but surely.
Definitely. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi ta'ala, as you said, yes, we do need the resources to carry on with our life right. in the world. But he puts it so beautifully. He says that we are like the vessel, like the boat in the ocean. And the ocean is this world. we are living this world. We must ensure that the water, the world, doesn't come into the boat. Otherwise, it will sink the boat and its resident, meaning us. It will drown us. Similar state is that of dunya, of the world.
Mm.
We live in the dunya, but just like the boat floats on top of water.
Allah.
And this is the right way of living in this world. And he opens our eyes to this reality, that this is how you deal with the world. This is how you show the world and worldly pleasures its place, by still keeping afloat and motivated to the hereafter. Subhanallah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that an immense sin for which people do not ask Allah Almighty forgiveness for is love for this world. Meaning it in itself is a sin to love the world. We take it for granted, oh, it's nothing. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that an immense sin for which people do not ask Allah's forgiveness for is love for this world.
Allah.
In another blessed hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and which is the subject of our topic today, the worldly love is the root of all evil. He says, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ. Meaning, love for the world is the root of every sin.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah. The great scholar, Sayyidina Abdul Rauf Munawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says in Faidul Qadir that it is proven from experience and observation that love for the world calls towards every open and hidden sin, especially those who centered around worldly matters. Whoever is with this world loses himself in it, despite them knowing well of its impurity and imperfection. Love for the world first leads to doubtful matters, then to that which is disliked and makruh, and ultimately to haram. And in extreme cases, it can even lead to disbelief. In fact, all people who rejected their Prophet alayhi wasalam disbelieved because of their love for the world.
Allahu Akbar.
This is a great test. You mentioned the example of Qarun.
Ji.
How intoxicated with the wealth of the world, he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, went against Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And what happened? He drowned with his treasures. He will keep on drowning further and further, deeper into the center of the earth until the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drowned him and his treasures into the earth. Allahu Akbar. And Sayyidina Abdul Rauf Manawi rahimahullah, he says that this is the root of everything, the worldly love, which is why it is said this world is Satan's alcohol. And whoever drinks from it will only sober up at the time of death, whilst feeling remorse and shame. Leaving this world is destructive. Loving this world is destructive. And love for it will not be exited from the hearts of most people except for a few. And those few, we know about them.
Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those few. Allahu Akbar, those are the anbiya of Allah, the awliya of Allah, the pious people, subhanAllah, those who are devoted to Allah and Rasul Azza wa Jal, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We gave the example of Pharaoh Sayyidi. And if we look another example, who was blinded by the wealth of the world, by the worldly love, the position and the money, Yazid. We learn his example in the month of Muharram. We are still in the month of Muharram. And what happened? What was the end result? And how he was turned against the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was blinded by the worldly greed, by the greed of throne, by the greed of position and power and wealth and authority. Allahu Akbar. This worldly love drowned him. Truly, and it didn't last very long.
Yeah.
He ruled just over 3 years. And then after that, even his own son, he rejected him.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. And he died such a death that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him an example for people to live. If you live with injustice, this is going to be your end result. His body was rotting. Allahu Akbar. This is the reality of those who are engrossed in the worldly love. Just as love for this world is the root of every sin, hatred for it is the root of every good.
Allah,
the opposite Allah, is also yes. true. Subhanallah. So yes, love for the world is the root of every sin and hatred for it is the root of every good. Now it is up to us, which do we choose? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep us on the right path. And yes, we make dua for it. So when we are given the choice, why don't we, you know, put our action where we place our words in the du'as. We ask Allah for guidance here. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam provides us with guidance that this is actually a sin to be in love with this world. Why don't we choose that which is good? But there is obstacle. There will be hardships because hatred for the world is hard.
It's not an easy thing.
Yes, because we have got so accustomed to loving the world and, you know, everything in it that we find it hard to break away from this cycle. But inshallah, if we are motivated to attain the paradise, this is the pathway to choose. The pathway to paradise is littered with calamities, with thorns, whereas the pathway to hell is a bed of roses.
You know, so one of the efficient ways to have hatred for this world is, you know, for a person to visit the graveyard. Because by visiting the graveyard, it actually, you know, ends all one's luxuries. You know, it finishes a person's pleasures and desires because one now understands and realizes that this is actually where I'm going to end up. This is actually where I'm going to be at the end. And you know, this world is not something that is going to be everlasting, rather it is temporary. So also one should, you know, be frequent in visiting the graveyard so that one can have hatred for this world and not be so absorbed into this world.
Truly, Sayyidi, when we go to the graveyard, it truly reminds us of what's our destination, where we are heading. It gives us, you know, like how the milestones, when you're on a journey, the signboard will read, okay, so many kilometers you are away. Every grave reminds us that this is your destination. This is going to be the first step of your destination into the hereafter, inshallah. And so many graves, it's not just one grave. So we can think, okay, this person passed away. Not everybody has to pass away now. But looking at so many graves, so many graveyards in the world, around the world, they are looking, staring back at us and telling us, you know what, you are next. And you will see that when you enter a graveyard, there's so much of peace and tranquility.
And we see also, you know, our pious predecessors, they would go to the graveyard to remind themselves that one day I'm going to die. And not to have, you know, the love of this world in our heart. And Masab, you know, no one really likes a prison. No one likes the treatments that are in the prisons and the foods that are given there, the way they are treated, etc. No one likes it. Likewise, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, the summary of which is that this world, this dunya, is a prison for the believers. Allah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that, you know, this world, this dunya is a prison for the believers. Why do people, you know, why do we invest so much into this world? Why do we get absorbed so much into this world? Why do we have so much of love for this world when this world is actually a prison for the believers? It's a cage where we are restricted in it. It's only in the hereafter that we will not be restricted.
Allah. Imagine, Sayyidi, you know, home is home, right? And our home, our eternal home is paradise.
Inshallah.
Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the believer whose destination is paradise, when he's elsewhere, he's not at peace.
Yes. No matter where he can
No matter how comfortable it can be made. Home is home, right? You leave your home, you go to some other city or some other country, mm-hmm. you are living in a 5-star hotel where everything is at a distance, you know, at a hand's distance. You know, you press one button, the breakfast will come. Press one button, the room service will come. Right. Everything is one click away. And then you still miss home. Mm-hmm. You're not at peace. No matter how much luxury you are given,
yes.
right, you know, it's all temporary. Because you want to return home. This is our case. The case of a true believer who is living in this world, but he knows this is just a temporary phase. This is a journey that I'm on. And we are on our way to our home.
Yes.
Our final abode. And that is the hereafter.
We're all on this yes. journey.
You see, we are all on the same journey. But the difference is who's prepared and who's not prepared.
Mm.
Who's looking forward to it and who's frightened of it.
Mm.
The one looking forward to it are those who truly believe in Allah. Who truly believe in Rasulullah. Who truly believe in the hereafter. Who truly believe in the accountability.
Mm.
They are looking forward to it.
That's why we know we have to always remind ourselves of the hereafter. About, you know, Jannah, about Jahannam, the punishments that are there. We have to continuously remind ourselves, ponder over it. Because this is also one of those ways that will help us have, you know, hatred for this world and not have an attachment to it. Yes, you know, nothing is wrong with having wealth, with loving one's family, you know, spending on one's family, etc., etc. But if a person does it for the sake of Allah, he will be rewarded. And if a person, you know, out of greed and all of these evil qualities, then such a person, he will end up being destroyed.
Definitely.
Why? Because his love for this world is so much that he is blinded.
Love for the world, for the world.
Mm-hmm.
Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he puts it so beautifully into perspective and he says, a worldly life is that spent fulfilling the desires of the nafs and the carnal self. A life spent preparing for the hereafter is not considered a worldly life.
Mm, mm, mm.
Despite the fact that one lives in the world itself, the difference is, what is your aim? What are you aiming at? What's your objective? A worldly life is one thing, but living in the world is another.
Allah, Allah.
Life in this world will end, but a life spent in this world for the hereafter will not finish.
Hmm. Subhanallah.
This is so beautifully, alhamdulillah. This is so profound. If we don't know the difference, there is a fine line. Here, there is a fine line. Yes, we have to live in this world for the hereafter. This is where the difference is.
Hmm.
Live in the world for the world, that's not our way. That is a no-go zone. But living in the world for the sake of the hereafter, that is what we are striving for. So let's not confuse ourselves, right, at the same time.
Yeah.
And keep our objective in mind. As Mu'asaf has said, beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the world is a prison for the believers and is paradise for the disbelievers. Why? Because this is all they got. And for us, we are going home, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And home is paradise to the believers. Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhal al jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given the glad tidings of paradise for the ones who recites and who believes in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the necessities of deen. And though, you know, if we have committed some sins, yes, there will be accountability for it. We'll serve maybe a time that we have transgressed the limits. But then inshallah, ultimately, if one has true iman, then one will be admitted into paradise by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah azza wa jal. We should make sincere tawbah in the court of Allah for whatever sins that have been committed knowingly or unknowingly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardon our sins and free us from sins and give us tawfiq to do good and to earn the currency of the hereafter, and that is piety and taqwa. There are categories of those pursuing the world. You know, in everything we have categories, there are levels. And those who pursue the wealth of this world to maintain good ties with relatives and help the poor, they are considered generous. And if their actions correlate with their intention, they will gain reward for it. Yes. Despite this, it is said that such people lack intelligence. As an intelligent person does not desire something which will change his state to an unknown condition after acquiring it. People who acquire wealth with this intention should learn from the story of Thalaba. Whose Thalaba, an individual by the name of Thalaba, requested Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to pray for him to become wealthy. Having been granted knowledge of the unseen by Allah Almighty, the greatest and the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, O Thalaba, a little wealth you can give thanks for is better than a great amount for which you cannot. Meaning, be grateful for a little wealth, yes. And it will be easier for you to pay your gratitude in the court of Allah for the little that you have instead of having a lot. And he wasn't content with it. He presented himself again in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he requested again Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make dua. And he says, I take oath by he who sent you as a true prophet. If he grants me wealth, I will give everyone their due right. This was the promise, and he taken an oath to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He prayed for him, so Allah Almighty blessed his sheep in so much that the city could not accommodate all of his sheep.
Allah.
Thalaba took them with him to the wilderness and left Medina Munawwara. And it resulted in him missing out on attending congregational and even the Jumu'ah Salah.
Allahu Akbar.
He wouldn't be seen for Fard Salah in Jama'ah. And he also started missing in Jumu'ah congregation.
Because of having so much of wealth.
And he was overcommitted. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired about him, to which the companions replied that his wealth had increased a lot. So much so that even the desert was not large enough to hold it.
Allah.
The greatest Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed his disappointment regarding him. He said, I feel sorry for you, Thalaba. Later on, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent individuals to collect zakat, people happily paid it. Yet, when Thalaba was approached for zakat collection, he responded by saying that this was tax and he would think about it first, then pay. When the individuals came back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he expressed disappointment at the Thalaba's stance, you know, that twice before they even, you know, before they even said it. Yeah, before the Sahaba came back and reported back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he already knew what Thalaba had to say. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was disappointed in him. And then this verse of the Holy Quran was revealed by Allah. Translation from Kanzul Iman. And among them there are some who have made a pledge with Allah. If he grants us from his grace, then we will most certainly give charity. And we will most definitely be among the righteous. When he granted them from his grace, they were miserly with it. And they withdrew, turning their faces away. Thalaba then eventually arrived with his charity, to which the great Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah Almighty forbids me from accepting this. Thalaba returned in a state of disgrace. His wealth was then brought to the first Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, during his caliphate, and it was again rejected. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him, I'm not going to accept something which was rejected by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was again brought forth during the reign of Islam's second Khalifa, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The result was the same. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I'm not going to accept something which was rejected by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Salaba eventually died during the caliphate of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu.
Allah.
This is the lesson for us to learn. I mean, this person asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua.
Right.
He made dua. He was firstly reluctant because he knew what he would do.
Yes.
And he again insisted upon his insistence. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. And his wealth grew so much that he forgot about Allah. He forgot about the hereafter. And he even refused to pay zakat, which is one of the pillars of Islam. What happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned him in the Holy Quran. And then only he comes with his wealth for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to accept it. He said, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stopped me from accepting it. He has rejected you, so I'm not going to accept it. Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, I'm not going to accept something which was rejected by Rasulullah. Again, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala also refused. And finally, this person passed away in the reign and during the caliphate of the third Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this serves as a lesson to those who are truly engrossed in this world and they turn their back away from the Akhirah, from the deen.
Yes.
And what happens when they go and cross the limits in the intoxication of wealth and dunya.
And also, Master, what we learn also in this, you know, is for a person to be content. Whether they have less or whether they have more. But to be content is, you know, very important. To be content, to be grateful for what you have, whether it be less, whether it be more, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whatever the circumstances may be, always be content. And one shouldn't, you know, be greedy for more and more and more. Because this is what, you know, love of the world does. Slowly, it destroys a person without a person even realizing it.
Yes.
And there's a beautiful narration of Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which he says that on the day of Qiyamah, the world will be brought forth as an unsightly old woman with disfigured and crooked eyes, and whose teeth are protruding forwards. She will be directed towards the people and it will be asked, do you recognize her? And they will reply that we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from recognizing her. It will be announced that this is the world you were proud of.
Allah.
Due to it, you severed family ties, became jealous of one another and harbored enmity and arrogance. The world will then be placed in hell, in Jahannam, and it will say, oh my Lord, where are those who listen to me? Where is my group? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall declare, place them alongside the world.
Allah.
Imagine, you know, this people, we see it, that people go through so many lengths to severing family ties, to having, to being jealous of another fellow Muslim, holding grudges, enmity, etc. Why? Because of love for this world. They want to gain more and be one step up than the other person. And it all boils down to having love for this world. When this love for this world is not in a person's heart, then you will see peace in one's family. You will see peace in the community. You will see, you know, love amongst the family members, because no one now will have a hidden agenda. Everyone will be, you know, on one platform where everyone is doing something or doing deeds for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not out of love for this world to drop one person just to be elevated.
Allah. So yes, Sayyidi, it's the world is a means of conveyance. Like we are in it, right? And we need the worldly resources to survive and we must just take as much we need.
Yeah.
And not to immerse ourselves in it.
Yes.
This is the difference. There is a very subtle and fine line.
That's where the catch is.
Yes. And it's a multi-dimensional aspect. Let's say, for example, there are dimensions to this world. As alhamdulillah, this program is also named Dimensions of Islamic Life. So It has many angles. One angle is that the first, you know, dimension of this world consists of a reward. It is by means of this a person attains goodness and protects himself from evil. That is a believer's conveyance. A field to harvest for the hereafter. And halal sustenance that suffices. That is one dimension. The second dimension is it entails accountability. Due to this, one does not lack in fulfilling prescribed duties or do anything impermissible in pursuit of the world. Wealthy people fall under this category. Accountability for them will be of a lengthy duration, and the poor will enter paradise 500 years before them.
Allah.
Because there is less accountability.
Right.
And the third dimension brings about punishment. In this, an individual neglects all necessary duties and involves himself in sin. Whoever this category applies to will find it drawing him closer to hell and leaving him in a state of regret. Allahu Akbar. This is so clear cut that there is one dimension to it, which is a believer's conveyance,
subhanAllah,
which suits a believer to do those virtuous things while living in this world. First dimension, right? It is a field. The world is a field. Ad-dunya mazratul akhirah. It's a field to cultivate and to harvest for the hereafter. And halal sustenance to find in it and live on that. That is also a blessing. And then the second is accountability. And that comes the more wealth we possess, the more share of the world we have, the more accountability. And therefore, the poor will reach paradise before the wealthy because they will be stuck in their accountability.
And this is something, you know, for the poor also to be grateful for.
Yes.
To be content for, because they will be entering Jannah first before the rich.
Exactly. And then the third one is about punishment. In this case, an individual neglects all necessary duties and involves himself in sins. And this is the dimension we should all be careful of. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
This has been a wonderful program and episode. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for partaking in it. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.